All right, this is what's up. Good evening, good evening. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar calling on the hotline from heaven. Amen. We won't talk about nobody but Jesus Christ and his love and his mercy and his second coming. We're going to talk about his resurrection and his suffering. We're going to talk about sanctification, justification, edification. We're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about the conditions of the world. Is in the day, what's going on? Please tell me, man, what's going on? Well, I can tell you what's going on. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this planet. Amen. That's the only one that's going to straighten out the problems that we're having. But this is Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, coming to you from Warren, Ohio, going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia, on Block Talk Radio. Amen, amen. Preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. For at name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. As my brother Tim's coming on after a while, we're going to discuss the situation. Amen. In the world today, we're going to let you know what's heaven doing now. Heaven is busy. Busy 24/7 from here to eternity. It's busy. God is getting ready, amen, to rapture the church. He's getting ready for it. Amen. And I'm ready for it. I'm going to let you know you better get ready for it. Because in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm out of here. Amen. Amen. We'll be covering some things such as the rapture of the church. We're going to be covering the Antichrist, the peace treaty that's coming up. We're going to hit the seven-year tribulation, the 144,000 Jews that's going to preach the gospel during the tribulation period. And we're going to talk about Russia and Israel. We're going to talk about the 28 judgments that's going to hit the planet. Amen. And we're getting a taste of it right now, but it's not at its full blossom. Amen. Things don't really get started until after the rapture of the church. We have the two witnesses, which is Moses and Elijah. And we have the return of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. And then from the battle of Armageddon, we go into the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. That's when the world is going to go into ultimate peace, because the Prince of Peace is coming back to set up peace on the earth. Amen. The Bible tells me there's no peace to the wicked. There's no rest to the wicked. And as long as we're living in a wicked world and the devil is still loose, ramping through the atmosphere, because he is the prince power of the air. Amen. I want to know if Brother Tim come in yet. Amen. If he's in, amen. I want him to know that, amen, we're going to turn it over to him in a minute. But at the meantime, we want you to sit in with us, and we're going to talk about this Antichrist that's coming on the scene, that's already here. Amen. He's alive and he's waiting for one thing. Amen. Brother Tim, you in? Praise God. You hear me, Brother Tim?
Hey, Bazaar. Can you hear me, Bazaar?
Hey. Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, he'd be about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. I'll hold on for 10 minutes, and I'll get him started off. Amen. We thank the Lord for Brother Tim. Amen. He's my main man. He's kind of knows the word of God, loves the Lord, and he's on the end time prophecy list. Amen. God's using him, using me to get across to the people of the world, people of the churches, people of the occults. There's only one way that we can get to heaven. I don't know if people understand that. There's only one way that you can go to heaven. One way, and there's one baptism. There's one God. There's one heaven, and there's one hell. And there's a decision that people have to make today to decide where they're going to go after they die. Because after you're dead, there's no decision. The decision already been made. When you kick the bucket or you start pushing up daisies, and you want to think through your lifetime that you can be born in sin and shaped in iniquity and then live in sin and then die in sin, you think you can go to heaven. No, it ain't that a way. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, made provision for us that we could be saved through his blood. Nothing but his blood. There's no other blood. There's no other power in heaven or in earth or underneath the earth. It's powerful, the blood of Jesus Christ. They can save and sanctify your soul from sin. Church going ain't going to do it. Shaking the preacher's hand ain't going to do it. The color of your skin ain't going to do it. The money you got ain't going to do it. You got to be born again. Jesus Christ talked to Nicodemus that night and told him, said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm old. Can I go into my mother's womb the second time and come out and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, unless you be born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot. You hear what he said? You cannot see the kingdom of God. Woo, that's powerful. If he told Nicodemus that, which was a rabbi of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he knew the letter of the law, he knew the Old Testament, he knew about the sacrifices of animals and goats and lambs. But when he met Jesus, he met the Lamb of God. And when he met the Lamb of God, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus told him, said, man, you got to be born again. And I know for a fact, Jesus Christ, amen, saved Nicodemus. Yes, he did. Because Nicodemus took the word. Now, if Nicodemus had to be born again, so do George E. Bizard and many, many, many other people. Amen. If they want to go to heaven, you got to come by Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Tim, you in? Praise God. If not, amen. We're going to move on into the word of God. And as you get ready to come in, I want you to recognize that, amen, that the Antichrist is alive today, right now, this minute. He's alive. I want to let you know that we are definitely living in the last hour, it might be the last year. I don't know, but the way things are going, it's getting thick out there. It's getting heavy out there. Men today don't know what to do. Men are trying to find new avenues to reach God, and they've been trying to do that for the last 6,000 years. Men are making their own religions and making their own ways of trying to find God, and you can't find God on your own. Jesus Christ is the only one that had the power enough to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. My. No man, tell you something. Let me tell you something. Denominations ain't going to get you to heaven. You hear what I said? Denominations is not going to get you to heaven. Amen. Your color, your skin ain't going to get you to heaven. Listen to this. Amen. There's all kind of churches today that's carrying the name of denomination. There's some churches that are carrying occult doctrines and teachings and not even going by the word of God. And Jesus Christ said, told old Lucifer, old Satan up on the top of Mount Temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That means every individual, every person on this planet, if they want to be followers of Christ, they're going to have to accept Jesus Christ, and then they're going to have to accept the whole word of God, the whole 66 books that's in the Bible, that's written by inspiration of holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't written by just an ordinary man. It was written by spirit-filled men, prophets and seers and bishops and men, farmers. I mean, men that God inspired. And when God inspired for a man to write, that man got to write exactly what God said. Because God got the first say, he's got the middle say, and he's got the last say. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus Christ did, no other person, no other God that you can name did what Jesus Christ done. What did Jesus Christ do? He was God Almighty in the flesh. And God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. And the devil don't like it because he knows that's the only way a man can ever live with God, see God and abode with God. If he have not been sanctified, justified, edified by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will never see God. Never. And if you can't see God, who are you going to spend eternity with? If you don't receive Christ in your life, some part of your life, if you don't receive Christ and you die without being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. It sounds harsh, but you're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to bust hell wide open. Hell's going to be your home. And John 3:16 says, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You've got to come through Jesus Christ before you can ever think about going to heaven, because your works will not get you to heaven. Your looks, your status quo, the color of your skin, because God created all people and made every human being up on this planet. And since Adam and Eve had sinned against God by listening to old Slewfoot Lucifer and got us in this mess, well, God said, "I got a way to get you out of this mess." And that is, God himself knew that he was going to have to come down here on this planet. Check it out. God himself came down here on this planet, born of a Virgin Mary, born of little baby, come out of Mary's womb just like an ordinary baby, but he wasn't ordinary. He was God in the flesh, and he stayed up on this earth for 33 and one half years. And when he stayed up on this earth for 33 and one half years, he proved to the world that who he was, that's who he was. But yet and still, people didn't want to believe that this man out of Galilee, this man that walked on the water, this man that healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils, this man, the man of men, no other man was like him, because he was God wrapped in human flesh. And yet and still, men have tried to find other men to take the place of Christ. And where they get that from? They got that from Lucifer, because Lucifer wants to be like God. He wants to overthrow God. He wants to rule the universe. He wants to rule your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to steal from your life. That's his job. He can't do nothing else but kill, rob, and destroy. And since he has destroyed, seems like he's destroying our youth, he's destroying the elderly, he's destroying anybody that really is not depending upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because you can be successful in this life. You can be very successful in this life and still die and go to hell. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how magnificent you are. You must be born again. I can't emphasize on that enough. And this is what the churches is not getting. They're not getting the point. They're not getting the point. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, 1,000 years ago, he didn't die for himself. He didn't die for the angels. He didn't die for the cherubims and seraphims. He didn't die for nobody else but the human race. He died for the human race. He died to deliver the human race from the clutches and the damnations and the sin and the iniquity and the wickedness of men from Satan. But man says, "I love wickedness." And the world today lies in wickedness. It lies in wickedness because the devil has deceived the people's mind and heart and soul in believing that you're going to go to heaven any old how. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can't go to heaven any old how. You say you've been going to church for 40 years, you still can't go to heaven unless you've been born again. You say you give your tithes and offerings, you still can't go until you've been born again. You have to have a change in life. Amen. Your life has to be changed. You got to come out of darkness and walk in the marvelous light. And Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the one that took Calvary's cross. And I'd like to find somebody that can tell me who else died on the cross and suffered like Jesus, who got their head between the locks of his shoulder like Jesus, who was put in the grave like Jesus, who stayed in the heart of the earth, in the bowels of the earth for 3 days and three nights and got up out the grave like Jesus. Who? Name somebody, please. If you say you're going to heaven, other than Jesus Christ, name somebody that could do something that Jesus Christ did within a period of 33 and one half years. And then he got up out the grave. He got up out the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. He got up on his own power. Nobody had to lift him up. Nobody had to get a crane and pull him out the grave. He bust the grave out. Amen. And let me tell you, no atomic bomb could have did that. No weapon of men's arsenal could do that. No doctor could have did that. Jesus Christ was trying to be God. He was God all by himself. And since he was all by himself, there was nobody there, amen, before him, and there was nobody after him that was there to help him do anything, because he's a self-existent being. He's a supreme creator. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that worship him, those that honor him, those that love him, those that will give their life for him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you are in sin and doing what you want to do and say what you want to say and never made your commitment to Jesus Christ by repenting of your sin and turning from your wicked way, guess what? You are in serious trouble with God. You ain't in serious trouble with me. You in serious trouble with God, because he is the creator. He is the maker. I'm just a preacher. I'm just a preacher. I'm just a spokesman. I'm just here, amen, making the word of God come live and true. And quit preaching this old half down, watered down spaghetti gospel that preachers are preaching today. They're preaching everything but salvation. And salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about this Antichrist. We're going to find out where he's coming from. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ, before he was born, amen, all the prophets just about in the Old Testament prophesied about Jesus Christ coming the first time. There's 44 prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, 44. From Genesis to Malachi, 44 prophecies that the prophets talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And every one of them was fulfilled. Every one of them was fulfilled. And every one of them came true. When it was fulfilled, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote about them and saw exactly what the old prophets talked about in the Old Testament. And when they wrote that, they said, yes, this is the man. This is the man. And one of the most dynamic scriptures in the Bible, chapters in the Bible, the most dynamic chapter in the Bible, in the whole Bible, is Isaiah. And all of God's scriptures are powerful, all of every last one of them. But this is a centerfold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you or anybody else try to remove this chapter out of the Bible, guess what? And if this year prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the whole world, listen to me, Lord have mercy, the whole world would end up in hell. Do you hear what I said? If Christ did not fulfill the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, if he wouldn't have came, or if he would have came and just went back to heaven and never suffered for the sins of mankind, there would have been no substitute for sin, because the animals were no power to redeem man. It was a type and shadow in the Old Testament to point to a better sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice, a unique sacrifice, the only sacrifice that can save George Bizarre's soul. My soul. I got a soul. And since I have a soul, God designed that soul. And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And I know for a fact now by the blood in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which I'm going to read in a minute. Amen. And if you don't think this is real, amen, you better talk to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And after you get through talking to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you better talk to Apostle Paul. And then after you talk to Apostle Paul, you better talk to the New Testament church that was converted under the power and the love of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you get through talking to them, you better come on over into the 18th and the 19th and the 20th century and talk to the souls that have accepted Jesus Christ in 2021. And I'm one of those souls. Amen, amen, that I can tell you that he arose from the dead. He suffered and died for my sins. And he did the same thing for you. And if I know George E. Bizarre has to be born again, saved and sanctified, and have the love of God in my heart. Oh, my. I got to have the love of God in my, and that's the love of God for everybody. Everybody. You hear what I said? Not just the blacks, not just the whites, not just the Chinese, but for the whole world. The Bible says, this is what the Bible said. If a man said he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. The Bible said if a man said, amen, he loved his brother and hate his brother at the same time, the love of God is not in him. Because what? God is love. God is pure love. God is righteous love. God is love is unblameable. God's love is long-suffering. God's love lasts forever. And when a man is born of God, he loves everybody. Ooh, my. Let me tell you something. So you better have the love of God in your heart when Jesus Christ comes. Because let me tell you, if you don't know the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, you are going to be left here on this earth. You are going to be left here on this earth. And you will have to face the Antichrist. But what I'm trying to tell you now is that 44 prophecies was made in the Old Testament of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And since that has happened, every bit of the Bible prophecies in the Old Testament has been fulfilled to the ultimate. And now, Jesus Christ has been gone for 2,000 years. And the Bible said he is coming back again. Woo! He's coming back again. He's coming back in power and in great glory. But before he comes back to the earth, before he steps his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, the same mountain that he left 2,000 years ago, before he moves into Jerusalem and set up the millennial kingdom, the first thing is going to happen before that happens is the rise of the Antichrist. And the rise of the Antichrist is on the rise right now. And he's been on his way for a long time, even way back there in the 11th chapter. And before the 11th chapter, he was on the rise. And by him being on the rise, he is almost here. Because the 11th chapter of Genesis tells you of a man named Nimrod who considered himself as being a god. And he was going to build a temple and build a tower and build a world that would be under one world government. He was demanding that he was going to be the god of this age. And you know the story. You just got to read it. The 11th chapter tells you of Nimrod, a mighty hunter. He was hunting souls. He wanted to captivate men's souls. He wanted to rule over men's souls. And that same spirit that Nimrod had come from Lucifer. Lucifer wanted to rule God all by himself. He wanted to dethrone God in heaven. He wanted to be like God in heaven. Oh, by the way, let me get some scriptures before I go to the 53rd chapter and show you the characteristic of Lucifer. And he's alive today. He's no longer called Lucifer, but that's his creative name. He's called the dragon, the old Beelzebub. He's called the Apollyon. He's called the destroyer. He's got 35 names in the word of God that covers his attributes. And Jesus Christ has 365 different names that you can describe who he is. So we want to look at the 14th chapter of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah gives you the picture of Lucifer before the fall. Listen to what he had installed in his heart and in his mind and in his spirit to tell God where to go. In the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" And the nations of the world today are weak. They are weak. They can't come together for nothing. Nationalities cannot come together because Satan has weakened the nations. Wars weaken the nations. We got homosexuals weaken the nation. We got drunkards, we got liars, we weaken the nation, got all nations in a frenzy. Nations of the world today don't know the left hand from the right hand. Why? Because Lucifer has weakened the nations, has weakened our families, has weakened our young people, has weakened everything he's touched. Because the Bible says, amen, men are unstable in all their ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the reason why they're double-minded, because they'll listen to Satan, and Satan is undeciphered what he want to do. He don't want to live right. He don't want to talk right. He wants to overthrow God Almighty. He's got something against God, and that is God will not let him overthrow himself. He is self-existent, God is. And Lucifer was created by what? Nothing, and God spoke to nothing, and nothing came forth, and that nothing became Lucifer. And when he spoke Lucifer, the end to existence, he became the major archangel and cherubim of the whole heaven, and he had access to protect God's throne, and he was the greatest musician that God ever created, and by his beauty, Satan was deceived. So he weakened the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, and the heart is the very epitome of a man's desire. And Lucifer had a desire to do what? In his heart. This is what he said in his heart now. This is what Lucifer said in his heart. He said, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, look at him. Look at Lucifer. He wants to be like God. He wants to overthrow God. He wants to rule God. He wants to rule the world, and the world today, amen, Satan is in Satan's hand, and Satan wants to rule the world today, and he's doing it in procession. He's doing it in the, down through the millenniums, all six millenniums. He has got to the sixth millennium right now where he's in preparation of ruling the world through the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene pretty soon. He's almost on the scene, but he cannot come on the scene until number one thing happens, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ now is going to rapture the church. The church is here on earth right now. The church has been here for 2,000 years. The church has been preaching the gospel. I mean, some churches have. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that there is no other name given under heaven. And if a church is not lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, if the church is not preaching the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if the church is not preaching holiness and sanctification by the blood of Jesus Christ, if the church is not doing the work of the work of God through the Holy Spirit, is not of God, because God is a spirit, and those that worship him, those that work with him, they have to work through the Spirit of God, because God will not accept nothing else. He won't accept no other deity. He won't accept no other God. He won't accept no other man. He won't accept nobody but himself, because he is self-existent, and he don't need me, and he don't need you. I need God. And the world today needs God, but the world today is saying, I don't need God. I don't want God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then when judgment comes, and when tragedy comes, and when coronavirus comes, and when disease break out, and when wars break out, people be saying, oh, what we going to do? What we going to do? Well, you don't did what you say you were going to do. You said, I'm not going to worship God. And let me tell you, you know why problems are coming up on the face of the earth? Sin. You know why problems are coming up on the face of the earth? I say it again. Sin. Unbelief. When men blaspheme God, when men take the prayers out of school, when men take the prayers out of their homes, when men take the prayers out of the government, when men take the prayers out of the economy and the political world, when men take God out, you're looking for trouble. You're looking for hell and high waters, because Satan cannot run nothing in order. He's disorder. Only God works in order, because God cannot take confusion. He is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order. And whenever you see disorder coming around, God ain't in it. When you see church folks fussing and carrying on, God ain't in it. When you see the choir don't want to sing and the preacher don't want to preach, God ain't in it. He just ain't in it. Because the Bible said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of glory. When God made creation, he did it in order. And Satan caused disorder. And Satan had jurisdiction of the earth before God created man. And when God gave Satan, Lucifer, jurisdiction of the earth, this is what he was saying. He said, I will ascend into heaven. So he was on earth. Lucifer was on. He said, I will ascend to the heaven. All right. Then he said, I will exalt my throne. So he had a throne above the stars of God. So he's going to go up above God's head. I will sit also up on the mount of congregation. He's going to go up all up in the choir stand. He's going to go all up in God's chest and tell God, I'm taking over. I'm ruling this thing. I'm the one that's going to rule. And God says, no, huh? Let me tell you, woo! You don't want to get it. You don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God. And God threw Satan out. Out. That's where the trouble started. Trouble started in heaven, not on earth. God had to cast him out because he was a rebel. He was trying to do a coup in heaven. And he thought he could do it over his beauty. He was so beautiful that he thought beauty, amen, would give him power to overthrow God. And he's been trying it for the last 6,000 years. And guess what? He can't do it. Now he got the world in a frenzy. He got people believing that this Antichrist is going to come, is going to straighten things out. And no man on this planet is going to make anything better. We don't have 45 presidents, 45, and they've been trying to get the government together, been trying to get the racial thing together, they've been trying to get the churches together, oh, and they done messed up. They done messed up so bad, amen, people don't even want to go to church no more. The church house, amen, anymore, it's something like a circus because people are walking in the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're walking on their own. They're not walking in the spirit. They're not calling on the name of Jesus. They're not trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in the preachers. They're trusting in the deacons. They're trusting in everything but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because let me tell you, he's the only one that can straighten your soul out. Satan's been trying to get ground, and now he's got the utensils. He's got the modern technology of what? Of computers and all kinds of new technology to control man. He's got the coronavirus out now that now they're going to actually grow and grow. It's going to grow more serious and serious as you go along. And they're going to have to say, recommend. They're going to have executive orders that you have a mask on. If you don't have your mask on, you can't go in the store. And pretty soon they're going to have it say, well, if you don't get your shot, you ain't going to be able to do nothing. You won't have to stay home. You ain't going to be able to go nowhere. We're going to arrest you if you don't get your shot. That's what it's moving into. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast, but it's moving in. Huh? Just like you move into your house, you move in gradually. You move it in and they get it set up. When they get it set up, people going to say, well, I got to get mine because I got to get my shot for my doctor. I got to go to the grocery store. And if I can't go to the grocery store, I got to put my mask on. So it's getting people groomed into accepting the mark of the beast. The devil never come at you head on. He comes around the Robin Hood barn and move and maneuver people's minds, and he subliminal messages. And all the TV program that you see today is geared through Satan. You might find a couple programs, a Christian program, that men are prophesying and preaching the true gospel, but very few. But pretty soon God is going to let Satan have this earth. Uh-oh. Oh, he already got it, but he's going to let him take over for a period of 7 years, and he's working at it now. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There's the old copycat copying off of what God had, the devil got. What God had love. The devil got his love, fake love. God is holiness. Satan tried to have a fake holiness. God got a tongue for people to speak in so men can hear the gospel. So do the devil. That devil got everything that God has, but it's corrupt. It's corrupt from the bottom to the top, to the sideways, to the back way. Every way you can think of, it's corrupt. If you're not walking in the spirit of Christ and you haven't been sealed with the spirit of Christ in your soul, in your spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't belong to God. You've got to be born again before you can belong to God. And I know God loves everybody. And like a lot of people say, we are all God's children. Not all people are God's children. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, your father's of the devil. Y'all are liars. Y'all are liars, and the truth is not in you. So we got a lot of lying people today. We got a lot of people say they saved and they ain't saved. They're lying. We got a lot of hypocrites today walking around trying to confess Christ. Don't know nothing about the regeneration and the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. We got people doing everything in the church big enough to do and don't think God is going to recompense it. Don't think God's going to do something about it. And out of all the seven churches of Asia Minor, only two was doing the right thing, and that was winning souls and telling people about Jesus Christ and letting people know there's only one way to heaven, letting them know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, letting people know that the Holy Ghost, amen, is not the third person in the Trinity. It's the first person. Hey, the Son is the first person. The Father is the first person. All three are one. They are co-equal. Woo! Jesus Christ is not the second one in Trinity. He's the first. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. God the Father is God himself. The Holy Ghost is God himself in the Spirit through Jesus Christ from shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. Woo! God talked to himself. He don't need nobody else. He ain't talking to three people in heaven. Jesus Christ went down to the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed, he said, I will pray the Father. You hear what I say? I will pray not to the Father, but I will pray the Father. Father, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but your will be done. He could have called 72,000 angels down and delivered him, but he said, no, I can't do that in the spirit of his infinity. Woo, the infinite mind, the self-existent God. The God don't need nobody to help him. He did it all by himself. And when he got up from that grave, he said, now, all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. God got all the power. I don't have no power. And the power that I receive for me to walk and talk and preach the gospel and love people and try to tell people, look, man, it's heaven or hell. You got to have Jesus Christ in your life, man. Come on. Come on. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the materialistic thing in the world. That's not going to get you to heaven. People trying to enjoy heaven here. Oh, my God. I'm not looking for to stay here the rest of my life. Amen. The world is in a mess. And I can speak to you. You there?
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right, Doc. I'm glad to hear your voice, man. Glad to hear your voice.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High.
I'm going to finish up for a little bit, and I'm going to give it over to you. Then you go for about 15 minutes, give your input. But I was talking on the salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ. And most people today, amen, are in a position wishing think they can work their way to heaven and believe that God is going to accept their works. Well, God is not going to accept your works. What God will He will accept faith in his son, Jesus Christ, to save you from sin. Because sin is the damnations of your soul. Satan knows it. Every individual know today, amen. And them people try to make excuses like, I don't believe in the hell. What you believe in it or not? It's here, and we can see a little bit of hell today, or what's going on in the world, how people are living, how they're treating, how folks are going to church anymore, and they don't even want to go no more. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear some old washed down doctor degree with plaques on the wall, and don't know the first thing about salvation, because salvation is the ultimate plan that Jesus Christ came down here and died for. So what I want to do is I'm going to give it over to you about 1 minute, and then I'm going to let you have it for 15 minutes, then I'm going to come back, and we're going to get into the lesson. Amen. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this because I don't know nothing else that can stir my soul up than the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is coming soon. I was talking about old Lucifer, how he is tearing the world upside down and how he's been working for 6,000 years to rule the world, and God is going to give it to him for about 7 years. But at the same time, God's going to move in, and he's going to save some in the tribulation period, because the rapture of the church means the body of Christ will be excommunicated to glory in heaven. And
yes,
then
sir.
Satan will come on the scene as a peacemaker, and the world will say, oh, yes, this is what we've been praying for. Oh, this is Jesus, and especially the Jews. The Jews are going to say, yes, this is our Messiah. This is our Messiah. And that's the way Satan works, because he's a slick, diabolical demon. And he's got thousands and millions of other demons and cohorts to work for him. And he's working on people's mind today. People committing suicide. Young folks are killing themselves. Marriages are turning upside down. Men are opening up themselves and saying, well, I can get married any kind of way. I'll marry a man. I'll marry a goat. I'll marry a horse. I have sex with anything. This is where our world is in.
That's right.
And people
People
laugh and think it, but let me tell you, you can laugh all you want. You can laugh until you look like a laughing clown. But one day God is going to show you who he is. And who he is, we as saints of God. And if you're a saint of God, you should be warning your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother.
Amen.
Man, y'all better get right. I ain't playing. Going to church ain't going to do it. Shaking the preacher's hand ain't going to do it. You can be baptized with the water, go down a dry devil, come up a wet devil. You got to have an experience in the inside of your heart. And it got to come from the blood of Jesus Christ. It got to come from the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't say that in anger. I don't say that in trying to dog somebody. I'm saying you that in love, and I'm putting an explanation mark behind it because this is a serious thing. This ain't no play. Hell is hot.
That's right.
I've been the last three, four days, I've been depressed. And the reason I'm depressed, I know, I said, Lord, look at the people that's going to hell and they don't want to hear
the gospel.
Look at the preachers that don't want to hear the gospel. Amen. And I know I ain't got all the gospel, but I got enough gospel. Amen. It sets your soul on fire from the word of God. And it comes from the word of God. I preach hard. I don't preach easy. I preach hard, and I try to express my love for people and their souls, because if you miss heaven, you're going to have a hot foot the rest of your life. If you miss heaven, because there's only one place you can go after you die, if you die without Christ, you got to go to hell. And
that's
God
right.
has never put nobody in hell. You go yourself. And I believe every time a sinner dies, God grieves it. God feels bad about
amen.
It.
That's right.
He wish he could have saved that individual, but the individual don't want him. And I feel the same way. I grieve at my relatives. I grieve at my friends. I grieve at, for the people of the world, everybody. I mean, people out there
amen.
That I don't even know. I grieve. Why? Because let me tell you, this thing ain't no plaything. When I stand before God, and when Brother Tim stands before God, I want the Lord to look at me and say, Bazaar, you preached the word. Well done. Tim, you preached the word and told the people that
amen.
Without Christ, they ain't going to make it, brother. And
right.
quit trying to work your way to heaven. But right now, I'm going to give it over to Brother Tim. And when Brother Tim gets through, amen. I want him to come on back over, and we're going to talk about this Antichrist, and we're going to try
amen.
To, we're going to find out where he at. We're going to find out where he at. So, Brother Tim, go ahead. Talk to me.
Amen, brother. All glory to the Most High. Beautiful word, amen. I've been listening to you, amen, since about 15 or 20 minutes after, amen. I always enjoy your word, amen. I was talking about you yesterday, amen, on the earth, and how much Bible knowledge that you have and that you've been blessed with, and amen. And it's strange. What you're saying is exactly right. It's the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. You know, people want to hear stuff that's wild. People want to hear what sounds good to them.
Good.
Amen. If you can get people to talk about being against other people of other races, they want to hear that. If you can get people to talk about money and cars and what God can bless them with, people want to hear that. But people don't
yeah.
want to hear salvation. People don't want to hear that.
No.
If you come to Christ and you receive salvation, people don't want to live for God.
Mm-mm.
Amen. People want to continue to live in sin. They want to continue to talk about one another in the church. They want to continue to backbite, and they want to continue to sneak around behind the scenes, amen, and do things and be conniving
right.
and low down, amen.
Right.
That's what people want to continue to do. But as I said last week, and as you've been saying, amen, this is the perfect time for God to come back, because the church is not watching. People are just
mm-hmm.
attending church. We are in the church age. And as you
church
said
age.
Before, we are in the Laodicean church. We are in the last church. People are not the part of the preacher. If you think about it, the preachers are not talking about revelation. They're not talking about the return of Christ. That's how we know that we are in the right season. It's a possibility that Christ can come back in the twinkling of an eye.
And
because nobody, amen. The majority of the churches, over 95 to 98% of churches, are not having a conversation about the return of Christ. You don't even have to have a conversation about revelation, but talk to your people about getting prepared for the return of Christ. And no one's teaching that message. People are teaching about other stories in the Bible about how he healed the sick and how he raised the dead. Amen. And those are good messages. Amen. But at this day and time, we need to tell them about what Daniel saw. We need to tell them about what
Ooh,
Christ talked about.
We
need to tell them about what John the Revelator, what he talked about.
Yes.
And that should be a huge conversation among church people. Amen. And when you talk to everyday church people, and this is not even a conversation, or if you talk to somebody in the church when this conversation is like beyond them,
yep.
like the brother said, he said most of the people that are getting saved now are not, these are the people that are just now coming into Christ. They're just now hearing about
no.
God. The people that are sitting in church, amen. You talking about this, these are, amen, dry bones. These are people that are just sitting in the church. No salvation, no love, cold in the heart. Amen. Sad that you can go around people in the church. In fact, these are not even believers or Christians. These are people who are just churchgoers. They just attend church. And this is what Christ is talking about. This is who Christ sent the message to John to warn. The people who are just going to church, to warn them to get ready, because out of the seven churches, only two churches were prepared for Christ. Amen. So what that means is, I remember when I first got saved, Doctor, over 20 years ago, I remember listening to this preacher on the radio. He said right now, he said about out of all the people in church, only 20% of the people are ready. I thought
Come
that
on.
Was amazing. I was like, what? This is when I first got, I couldn't believe what he said. I'm thinking that a majority, if not majority, almost all the people in church was going to heaven. He said only 20%. Now, we ain't talking about the people that's outside the church. We already know the people outside the church is lost. He said 20% of the people that attend church is the only one that's ready for Christ.
Lord,
how much? That's a very low number. So that lets you know that when Christ came out to get the church, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. A lot of people's going to be left here. Again, we're not talking about the unbelievers. Amen. We already know they're going to be left behind. They ain't studying God. They ain't giving God a second thought. We are talking about the people who go to church religiously, almost week in and week out, cold-hearted, show no love. Amen. I've heard people from the world say that the reason why they don't like going around church because church people act fake. Church people act like they better than them. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Amen. Doc, you said it best. You said that if you ain't got no love in your heart, you are not going to return with Christ. We got to feed one another with love. Amen. And it's sad. Amen, brother. And it said that we can go around people that call themselves Christians or believers or whatever, children of God.
You ain't going nowhere.
Amen. They ain't going nowhere, doctor. They show no love, just as cold in the heart, that they are lukewarm. They're so cold. The Bible said that you are lukewarm. You can't even heat up because amen. You are so into self. You are so much into who you are. You are so much into your name and the church you go to and the pastor that you set up on and the money that you got in the bank, the job that you have, that you can't get past that.
Come on now.
Amen. I remember my wife was saying just about a month ago, she said it just hurts her heart, amen, the church she goes to, how people show no love, how people are just cold-hearted. Amen. We have
ain't got
amen. And it shouldn't be like that when we go into a church.
No.
The church should be warm. It should be love. People should be feeling good about, amen, people who are coming in who are joining the church, people who are joining the body of Christ. But instead, people are so much into self. And as soon as the church is over with, amen, they don't want to say nothing to you. They don't want to say two words to you. Don't see them out in public somewhere. They're going to act like they don't know you. But I've experienced that. Seen a sister out in the parking lot. Amen. Out in the parking lot at a store. Spoke to her. And I know she heard because we were the only two in the parking lot. She walked right by me like she didn't even hear me. I said, Lord, how about this? What in the world do we have that's in the church? These are just churchgoers, people who just fill up the pews, just churchgoers. That's all they are. No salvation, no love, no care in the world. The world is cold. People out here just murdering people just nonchalantly. They're just out here just killing people. People are so brave now that they out here killing people in front of people. It used to be a time when people had some discretion, say, you know, that they would do it behind the scenes and when ain't nobody watching, when nobody's around. Now people are so brave that they just pulling out guns and killing people in broad daylight. They're killing people in front of a crowd of people. People don't care anymore. The church
anymore.
Is falling away. Amen. I saw somebody say that the church is about to fall away. No. The people are falling away from the church.
We're
people
falling
don't
away.
Want to hear this message. Amen, as the doctor said. People don't want to hear what we're talking about. People come
no.
on and hear, no, I don't want to hear all that. That or they feel like it's too hard. Are we being too harsh? Are we being mean?
No.
Amen,
no.
amen. We're not being mean. We're not being harsh or hard-hearted. It may be a hard gospel, amen, but it's the truth. We love you, and we want people to be saved and to receive salvation
right.
because why?
Yes,
we know what's coming. We know that if you don't get
Woo.
Saved.
Ooh, Lord.
Amen. We know that if you don't get saved, that like the brother said, the lake of fire is unbearable. And even it says it in the Bible. Over in Jude, said that the hell and the lake of fire was created and reserved for Satan and his angels. So that
yeah.
tells me that it wasn't even made for man. So the
no.
horrors that you're going to suffer for all eternity, you can't even imagine. It wasn't even
no.
meant for you. It was meant for Satan and the angels and their disobedience and their rebellion back to God to punish them for all eternity. And now Satan is tricking people, giving them trinkets, making you think you got something when you got a house. Man, let me tell you. When Christ come back, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Man, do you know that God got something in the heavenlies? He said, I got something that moth and rust and corruption and thieves can't break in and steal. I got that for you. Amen. And it's going to last for all eternity. And can't nobody take what God gives you away from you for all eternity. I want that. And then on top of that, it says over in John 3:16 and John 3:15, amen, it says that
yeah.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, John 3:15, 3 and 16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have
right,
everlasting
right.
life. Christ said, I'm going to give you the greatest gift. Amen. Me and my brother were just talking about this the other day. He's going to give you the greatest gift
greatest.
In existence. Man, you can have all the mansions and all the money, but there's nothing greater than eternal life. Ain't there
nothing,
something about it? Ain't nothing,
nothing
greater than eternal. In other words, it's not even a possession. It's a possession of eternal life.
Yeah.
Don't you know that if you can live for all eternity, that's better than any type of silver, gold, mansion, anything that
can't
you
match.
Can imagine.
Can't match it.
That's it. You can't even fathom the love
no.
that God has for them. Paul said that I had not seen, ear had not heard what God had for them that love him.
Love him.
And we love people so much. And like the brother said, he had gotten down. Brother, you ain't the only one. I'm right there with you. You get down, you talk, you preach, you study, but it seems like they don't want to hear you. Instead, they want to hear people that's hooping and hollering, and like you say, ain't talking about nothing. It's okay to preach about other things, amen, but at some point, you need to talk about the salvation of God. You need to talk about Christ dying on the cross for your sins. You need to talk about
yeah.
how God has given you eternal life once
yeah.
you come to this fire, which is the greatest
yeah.
gift to mankind. He told Nicodemus,
yeah.
he said, how can a man be born again? He said, that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is of the spirit. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must
yeah.
be what? Born again.
Born again.
You have to be born again. You have to be born of the spirit. Like the brother said, you got to receive God, the Holy Spirit, in you. You just can't go to church and just think it's about what you do. You said it best, brother. You can't go to church and just think that, oh, it's about what you do.
Uh-huh.
See, you got to become saved first. Then I had somebody tell
come
me
on
one
now.
Time,
come
brother. I had a preacher
on.
Tell me one time talking about, well, faith without works is dead. I said, brother, you're right. Faith without works is dead. That's because you got to have the faith first before you can have the works. You got to put
yeah.
the horse before the carriage, amen. You can't put the carriage before the horse. You ain't going to live
yeah.
right without Christ in your heart.
Come on,
you
now,
just
come
an individual
on.
That's just trying to do, amen. But you ain't got no love. Paul said that when he talked about over in 1 Corinthians, amen. No, what did he say?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. He said, let me show you. He said, cover not. But he said, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Paul,
come on.
Love is the most excellent way. He said, charity suffered long in his kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil.
Come on.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Watch what he says. It says, love never fails. That's what Paul was trying to get over to the church. Love never fails. Amen. I remember telling the brother one time, yeah, that's great that you can do all these things, but it's through love.
Come on now.
Salvation, our signature as the church and the children of God, which is why the church of brotherly love, amen. Amen.
Come
the
on,
church
man.
Of brotherly love, it's about love. One of the churches that was found with no conviction. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's about love. They was a small church. Amen. Don't that sound familiar, brother?
Yeah,
they
was
a small church. But they were strong and powerful, and Christ had no conviction. He uplifted them. Because you want to know why? Amen. That was the church of love. And if you know that there's a church right before the last church, amen, I believe, is right before the church of the Laodicean church. He said over in Revelation 3 and 10, amen, Revelation 3, not for the grid to be quiet and give back over to you, brother. Revelation 3 and 10. Amen. I'm going to go down and read it real quick. I'd like to give you a scripture. This is what he said, amen. I read this yesterday, but let me read it. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Amen?
Yeah.
Now watch this.
Yeah.
Now if you go over to 2 Peter real quick, 2 Peter 2 and 9. Let me show you something else. See, they're not prepared for this. Amen? This is what we want you to get ready for is the return of Christ. Now watch what it says. It's the same language. It says 2 Peter 2 and 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, the day of judgment is the day of the Lord. We're talking about during the time of the tribulation. God is going to separate the believers. The church is going to be caught up out of here.
Woo!
We're going to be
gone. Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
We're going to be out of here. And I have reserved. In other words, I have saved this day for those that for all throughout time they have that same wicked spirit and mindset, amen, of a reprobate mind that has just been rebellious, don't want nothing to do with God. And it was just like Pharaoh when Moses told Pharaoh to let God's people go. And he had just a rebellious spirit. He just wasn't going to do it. He had too much pride. And he ended up losing his firstborn son. That was so sad because he didn't want to let God's people go.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen, brother. Lord, amen. I'll come back to it, brother. Amen, amen.
All right,
when you said that it wasn't by works, brother, you hit it on the head. I keep telling you, it is not by works.
No.
It is by faith.
Yeah.
And then after that, the works. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
The works come in after you receive Christ in your life.
That's right. That's right.
When you receive Christ in your life, now you work. You're going to work. You're gonna work out your own salvation, fear and trembling before God. If we could work our way to heaven, when we get to heaven, we still have the same problems we have in here. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
I mean, if everybody can go to heaven on their works, because even our works are messed up without Christ, because we ain't doing it through Christ. We're doing it on our own. And heaven would be a mess. I'd rather stay here. Because you have to have a changed heart spiritually through Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes in, then the worship motivates you. It's like a locomotive. Amen. If you got a locomotive full of water, amen, and you want that locomotive to move, you're going to have to put some fire under it. And you're going to have to turn that water to steam. So when you receive Christ, amen, you have a changed life. Now you're motivated. You're excited. And you're gonna work through Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, you can't do nothing.
Amen.
And when
I mean nothing
from nothing, need nothing, and more nothing is coming out there, because Jesus Christ was the ultimate plan for man to come back to God, and the only plan that man could come back and have a right divine relationship with Jesus Christ. And that, when you meet Jesus Christ, you meet God right now. Bam! There it is.
That's right.
Jesus Christ said, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's right.
The Father in me. He said, the works that I do, it's not I. It's the Father that's in me. So Jesus Christ was telling us, look, if you want to work, if you want to be on the fire line, if you want to be sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, come on now. God loves you. I don't care
Amen.
How long you be going. I don't care if your mama was Baptist, your daddy was Methodist, names and denominations ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Because none
right.
of those denominations, I don't see a man in none of those denominations that died for me. Come on, look over here. Died for me. Took my sin, my lying, my neglecting it. Took all that mess. And now he took my mess. He took the mess of the whole world. All those malicious sins that man have committed.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it to Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he got in the Garden of Gethsemane, the whole world of sin absorbed in his body. And the pressure was so miraculous and so much pressure that it busts the veins inside of his body. Oh, y'all don't hear me. The world don't know what sin can do to you. Ooh, it's the blood. They tell me when blood came out of his pores, it was blood and water. Lord have mercy. And it got so bad that Jesus said, Lord, if there's another way, can I go
That's
down
right.
Fifth Avenue? Can I go down Sixth Avenue to get away from
Amen.
This? Because this is mind-boggling. I'm having nightmares. My body is seems like it's crumbling now. And he come out and said, not my will, but your will be done. I got to go.
That's right.
Good God Almighty. He had to go to save the souls of men, save the souls of the youth, save the souls of the old folks, save the souls of the middle folks, save the souls of the drunkard, the liar, the whoremonger, save their souls. And the world is saying, no, I don't need all that. That's all for old ladies and crippled men. That's for blind folks. I don't need that, man. Look at me. I'm doing good, man. Shoot, I got my little car. I got my little four rubber tires in the garage. I'm laying back on my couch. I got my big screen TV, and I got my 401k, and I got my kids are doing all right. I don't need no God. I don't need to be saved.
Right.
I'm doing well. Yeah, you're doing well, but what you gonna do after death? Yeah, you didn't come with nothing, and when you leave this world, you ain't
That's
leaving
right.
with nothing. I got some news for you.
It.
You're going to leave with nothing. You're going to leave with five senses. You're going to be able to see in hell. You're going to be able to walk in hell. You're going to be able to hear in hell. You're going to be able to talk in hell. You're going to be able to smell in hell. You're going to be able to taste in hell. And one of the most things that you're going to have in hell is one of your senses. You're going to be able to remember. You're going to be able to remember. You're going to remember the time somebody tried to tell you about the love and caring of Jesus Christ, how he suffered and died on Calvary's cross. And when you heard it, you said, that ain't but foolishness to me. And Paul said, preaching the cross to those that are lost, those that are sinful, it's foolish. But to those
that are
saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah.
Oh,
praise
God.
I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus because he saved my soul. And one thing he kept my soul. He kept my soul through seen and unseen danger. He kept my soul when I was sick. He kept my soul when I went astray. He kept my soul. And there's an old song saying, is it well with your soul? If you would die tonight, If God will call you home, is your soul right that you'll be willing enough to go? Because if you're
afraid to die,
let me tell you something. If you're afraid to die, you need your soul saved. Come on, come on.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Physically, I know I'm going to die. I ain't afraid of that. But the other death, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, then you're living in sin. You're in death. And you're afraid to die because you know that what you have done and what you're living in, God is not going to accept it. But the only way he can accept you, the Bible says, amen, you got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb because it cleanses you. It sanctifies you. It destroys sin. And that's the only thing that can destroy the sin and works of the devil. And the devil knows it. He trembles at the blood of Christ. He trembles at it. He walks knob-kneed, bow-legged. He all crooked over. He can't see. He can't talk. When you say the blood of Jesus Christ, when you say, I know the blood, when you say, I've been washing the blood of the Lamb, say, oh, Lord, they go one of them old crazy blood-washed people. Well, I thank God that I'm blood-washed, sanctified, and justified. And the world
That's
is
right.
saying, you're crazy, Bizarre. What in the world you want to live like that? How come you want to live for God? Well, it pays at the end. It pays
Amen.
At the end. Oh, it pays at the end, honey. Ooh, don't let nobody fool you. It pays. I don't need no money. I ain't talking about gold and silver. I'm not talking about what. But there's a day coming when the trumps will blow. And my soul is going to lift up out of my body. And my body going to be changed from mortal to immortality. And I'm going to meet
right.
who? I'm going to meet who? I'm going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Oh, come
Amen.
On, y'all. Y'all been in the 747. You've been above clouds somewhere in your lifetime. Maybe if you haven't rode in the plane, you ought to ride in one and see the clouds when you go above the clouds. My God, my God, my God. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to live with Jesus. I'm going to a place where it's always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. But what I got about 45 minutes. I think I'm going to have to change my routine. But I do want to touch on it a little bit to give you an idea of what this Antichrist is. What mm-hmm. I want to do, go to the book of Daniel. If you got it there, brother, if you get the 7th chapter of Daniel, real
Amen.
Quick for me. I got about 45 minutes. Where is the Antichrist? How long will he reign? What line of linkage will he come from? What part of the Middle East he will come from? How old is he now? If he's a king and a prince, where is he king and a prince? What country is it in? So we're going to find out because the Bible gives exactly the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming the first time. Exactly where he was going to be born, what he would eat, what the miracles he will do, all in the Old Testament. Now, if God is a, oh, man, he's ultimate. He's unique. If he gives us an identity where he's going to be born, he's going to give us identity where Antichrist is going to come from because he wants
Amen.
The world to know exactly what's going on. God ain't going to leave you blind. God
That's right.
ain't no He ain't no secretive God. There's a lot of things that you don't need to know right now. God ain't going to tell you. But God ain't going to do things in secret. He opened it up, brother. And he opened
That's
up
right.
this here Antichrist in the book of Daniel. And if you go to the 7th chapter and look in the book of Daniel, we're going to read. If we might not get through with it. If we don't get through with it, we just want to give you a piece of it. Amen. To make you go and study a little bit because it's not my job to study for you. You got to study for yourself. You got to inquire.
Amen.
Lord, show me the way. What are these preachers talking about? They talking about this week. Where do you get this at? You got to pray, see, fast, say, Lord, I want to be ready. And for the sinner
That's
man,
right.
you ought to be knocking to your knees, falling on your knees because you ain't never heard nothing like this. You don't hear this in the church. You might hear it,
right.
you might hear it on TV every once in a while, but you don't hear this up in the church. No, the church don't want this, man. Don't tell them people about where I'm coming from. No, you tell them that. Then if they miss the rapture, and after the rapture, and they miss the rapture, and they see me, they gonna believe. Hey, they gonna believe what I said if by faith, and they can get saved. See, the reason
That's
the
right.
church and Christians don't want to talk about the second flight because the devil knows that after the rapture of the church, those is not saved. If they hear the gospel right now about the Antichrist and what he's going to do, what he look like and how he's going to do, they're going to say, oh, we see him. There he is. He's on TV. That's him.
That's right.
And if you don't know nothing about it, then you can say, oh, this is Jesus. Look at it. Handsome, 6'6". It got no ten languages. Come from the lineage of David. Come from the nation of Esau, which are Spanish people, and Israelites are brothers because they came out of the same womb. And Esau caught a hold of Jacob. Jacob caught a hold of Esau's heel, and that means that he's going to take an inheritance that belonged to Esau because Esau was a hard man. He was very high-tempered, and he sold his birthright to Jacob, and then his mother plotted to take all his inheritance, and there's an alt between what the Jews and the Spanish people. And the Spanish people did an inquisition in 1492. They almost tried to wipe out all the Jews in Jerusalem, and then we go to the book of the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, and it says the time of Jacob's trouble. And there was a time in the Old Testament was Jacob's trouble when Esau would hunt down Jacob and kill all 70 of his people. And God wrestled with Jacob all night long. And Jacob said, I ain't going to let you go. I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. And God blessed him that he could be reconciled back to Esau. But although he's reconciled back to Esau, the Spanish people have a hatred for the Jewish people because they thought they should be the inheritor of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and it was given to Jacob. So there's a big confrontation in that area right there in the end time. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the book of what, 7th chapter, and brother, could you read the first 4 verses for me and see what Amen. Daniel saw? All right.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. That's Daniel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4, right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
All right. So it says, verse 1 says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, and he told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea.
Hold it
and
right there.
Four
Hold
great
right there.
Beasts. Amen. Yeah.
This is Daniel. This is Daniel having a dream. Now, Daniel was known as a judge prophet. He showed the judgment up on the Gentiles and up on the Jewish people. And here, the judgment is upon the Gentile nations, and the kingdoms of the world were mostly constructed of Gentile nations. There was only one nation up on the planet that God was using all through from the beginning of time all the way over to the end of tribulation, and that is the Jewish people. So the other Gentile nations was under the rule of the heathenism. They worship all kind of gods. And here Daniel was in the Babylon captivity, and by him being in there, God gave him a dream of the future kingdoms of the world that will come from all the way from Egypt all the way over into the new world government, which right now is being formed. These nations now is forming all together the new world order, which is already in the making. This is what Daniel is telling us right now. Read the next 3rd verse there, brother.
Amen. It says, and 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it.
Number 5.
Amen. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they had and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh.
All right, hold it right there. Now, this is the world kingdoms, and I'm going to make a long story short, because if I start reading all this, it would take a lot of time to do that. So I don't want to run out on you and leave mm-hmm. you hanging over something that you don't understand. So what I want to do is give you the four world empires. And the four world empires that have been in the past is the Babylonian Empire, the mm-hmm. Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman mm-hmm. Empire.
Yeah,
and this is what Daniel saw in 606 B.C. 606 B.C., amen, that's when he was in the Babylonian Empire. And from the Babylonian Empire all the way down until 2020, Daniel, this is what Daniel saw. This is Bible. This ain't nothing I make up or I dream. Oh, I went down the corner and tried to figure out, look in some kind of hat or crystal ball. This is the Bible. And the Bible says that Daniel had a dream, and these dreams were telling you of the future world empires that will come up on the face of the earth, and the last empire will be the greatest empire that will ever be up on the earth, because it will be from the revived Roman Empire, because the Roman mm-hmm. Empire fell in 476 A.D., and when it fell in 476 A.D., that gave the Roman Empire a fall. And the Roman Empire was the most vicious empire up on the planet. But since it's going to be revived, it's going to come double devastated, because it's going to be ruled by the Antichrist. So what I'm saying now, Daniel saw the dream, and when he got through with the dream, he said, man, I felt sick for 2 weeks. I was sick because I really couldn't get the understanding of what the dream was about until the mm-hmm. Lord interpreted for me. And when the Lord interpreted for me, he said, now I see, but I'm looking way down the future. I'm looking all the way up to 2020. And he didn't know he was looking into 2020, but it was mm-hmm. such a mystical dream that he said, oh, my God, I got to pray. I got to pray. And by that, the Lord revealed to them. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to do too much reading. I'm going to try to break this down for you what I already know, what I already studied. And you will find out that the Roman Empire was the most vicious empire, and it wasn't a holy empire. They call it a holy Roman Empire, but it wasn't holy. It wasn't nothing holy about Rome. Rome was
That's
vicious.
Right.
Rome is where you find your sex. Different sex marriages. Rome is where you find your queers and your punks and your weirdos and your having an army with gay men and men were going with men and women with women. They would worship all kind of sex organs. They would go in and have sex parties, and they would do all kind of sex stuff that the Christians couldn't take it. And so by the Christians not agreeing with it, they persecuted the Christians. And they were trying to annihilate them because they were standing up against the homosexuality. And God said, there's nothing I can do right now, because when a man makes up his mind that he's going to do what he want to do, God will never intervene on his priorities. And so by that, God said, I will never force nobody to accept my son. I ain't forcing nobody. He said, whosoever will, let him come. So if a person comes to Christ, if a person turns from wickedness to right, it's got to be on his will. And by being on his will, God will give him power to overcome that will so that he can be according to what God wants him to be. So what we got now,
Amen.
We got the Roman Empire crumbled. It crumbled so bad that a Roman orator wrote, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great big fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. What was he saying? He was telling you a prophecy in a rhythm type manner that Rome fell and it cracked. It cracked so bad until the end time come, then they're going to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that is revived Roman Empire, which runs into the world religion, one world political system, one world economical system, and bring the world under the power of the Roman powers that it had. And guess what? It ain't going to work, then it's going to work a little bit. It ain't going to work, but it's going to work a little bit, because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to take control of the world under the Roman government. And by taking it under the power of the Roman government, he has to have proper time for him to get here. He wasn't here in 1955. He wasn't here in 1965. He wasn't here in 1967. But in 1968, after the 10 toes that Daniel saw, he saw the 10 toes gathering up together, which is the 10 European common market. And just 3 days ago, the European common market took control of the army bases up in Europe, the United States. They're taking control of the army bases in the United States. That's the European common market. That's the power of the beast. That's the revived Roman Empire. That's the 10 toes, the 10 horns, the 10 corns, the 10 crowns that Daniel saw that will be reviving the Roman Empire. And now we got the New World Order that's going to come up into the White House. The president knows about it. Most of the presidents that were born in that time. And since that time came, they have a plan to what? Get the one world under one world government, which is done by the Illuminatis. Remember that. Illuminatis are Satan worshipers. The synagogue of Satan are Satan worshipers. The masonry, the secret societies, the presidents, and big dignitary people
Amen.
Are planning to take control of the whole world. They're taking control of the political system, the financial system. They're taking control of the economical system, and when this system gets down to the pinpoint, the Pope is telling people now, all religions come together under one fold. In other words, whether you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of God in Christ, let me get this down, the Nazism, the KKK, the Islam, the Nazarene Community Church, the Satan Church, the non-denomination church, the Baptist Church, the Christian Society Church, the atheists, all joined together under one umbrella and bring it under one world leader that calls himself Jesus Christ. They will fall under the hand and unite together as the World Council of Churches. In other words, one world church under the influence of Lucifer. Satan,
that's right.
Diabolical demons, and these diabolical demons are working from the air right now. UFOs are nothing but demons. God, help me. Help me, Jesus. The demons today are demonic UFOs that's uniting with the Roman Catholic Church, because the Pope has already had communication with them, and they are agreeing to come down here. Oh, Lord, look here. Let me get something to you. Because in the 12th chapter of Revelation, it tells you that there's going to be a war going on with Lucifer, the devil, Michael and his angel. They're the prince power of the air now. They're in first and second heaven, and now they're planning to come down here on this earth, and they already have made movies of it. They already won't put it on TV. They're already propaganding it right now. They're telling the people now that we can be an X-Man. We can be a Superman. We can fly.
That's right.
We can run. We can climb up on walls and turn upside down and hang on vines and do all kind of this. You know what they're doing now? They're giving you a special effect. And when you see it on TV, you say, oh, look at that man fly through the air. Ooh, is that true?
Right.
It might be true in some way, and it might not be true, because the devil can fly too. And if you don't know your Bible, you ought to know your Bible. In the tribulation period, the men or demons are going to come out of the pit of the earth. Pit of the earth. It's called the bottomless pit. And they're going to sting men that they want to die. And these men are going to be able to jump on the side of the wall, turn upside down. They're going to be able to shoot themselves and not die. They're going to be cutting themselves, and they're going to be trying to get rid of these things that these demons are going to bring. Man, let me tell you, the world is headed for a fall. And if people don't get right, if church folks don't get right, and I know this sounds like a fright night. It'll make your liver quiver. Why? Because demons are going to take over this planet.
That's right.
If you don't,
amen. Tell it, brother.
Ask Brother Wills when he made that movie, Independence Day, and when that saucer came down, and this monster came out and ate him up and spit in him up, and they had little demons walking around in this little planet, and they were saying what planet he come from, and they had a little planet on a little ball of a cat saying that he come from this university. Well, there's demons in the air. Oh, Yes, they are. And they're working in people today. Amen. You see people going down the road, shooting up people, crying, and people leaping off of buildings. The demons are getting ready to come down on this planet, my friends. But what I'm trying to say, and I didn't get through with what I'm saying, but the Antichrist is alive now. And I'm going to name some countries. Well, a lot of people think they may come in, but I got 70 countries on my list right now. I'm going to name a few, but I'm going to give you the right one when I get through with this. Some say these come from Cuba. Well, they can't come from Cuba. It's communist. Argentina, Uruguay, Chile, Paraguay, Bolivia, Peru, Brazil, no. Colombia, no. Venezuela, it's all in up around. Nicaragua, Mexico, no. United States, no. Canada, no. Japan, no. Filipino, no. Malaysia, no. Vietnam, Mozambique, no. China, no. Mongolia, no. How about Pakistan? How about Ukraine? How about Georgia? How about Turkey? How about Lebanon? How about Jordan? I can't find one, one in the list that the Antichrist can come from. Because number one, Daniel said, I saw 10 horns. And you can read it later. I saw 10 horns come up. And in the midst of 10 horns, I saw another little horn. And this horn had eyes like a man. This is the only horn that had eyes like a man and spoke against the Most High God. Now, don't make a long story short, because I know you ought to read your Bible. You got to study. You got to ask God to help me on this. Because let me tell you one thing about it. When he saw the 11th horn, these 11 horns is found in Western Europe, which represent 10 European countries that Daniel saw come up. And when they got through coming up in 1986, the last horn came in, which was Greece. And when Greece come in, that was the 10th horn. But after Greece came in, another little horn came up amongst them. And the other little horn, the only horn, good God Almighty, help me, Jesus, the other little horn that came up amongst these other 10 horns, there's only one country that came up after the 10 horns came up. And that 11th country is Spain. Got that? Esau descendants, Spain.
Amen.
This Antichrist was born in 1968, he was born. I didn't know it, but I knew that he was coming, and he had been here when I was still looking for him. But only way that I found out that, oh, my God, listen to this. God is my witness. God is my witness. I was going through some old books on the side of a road one day, and I picked this book up. They had one on Europe, all the European countries, and I picked this one up on Spain. I looked at Spain. I said, oh, my goodness, Spain, that sounds familiar to me. So I read the book, and I examined the book, and I found out that Spain was the most powerful country in that day until it fell. And when it fell, it went down to almost the zero factor. But by it being so weak, it regained its strength. And when it gained its strength in 1492, when they drove out the Jews, it became a little more powerful, until there was a man called Generalissimo Franco. He was a dictator-type man government. And I followed him from 1931 until 1975. And he died in 1975, but he called a man out of Rome, Italy, that was born in Rome, Italy. And he said it would be a Roman prince that would come. And when this man came out, he called him up and trained him for 40 years to be the king of Spain, because King of Spain didn't have no queen. And when he didn't have no king, he made sure that it would have a king. And his king name was Juan Carlos. And I looked at that. I said, oh, my God, Jesus, this is awesome. And I looked at that, And then I start saying, I was saying that this is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. And I was wrong on that, but I was wrong on that, but I was right on the other. This one that I was saying, Juan Carlos was the Antichrist, got married in 1962. When he got married in 1962 to Queen Sophia, they had a son, and he had a son called King Felipe. He was born in 1968. When Juan Carlos got so old, he could not take the throne. He gave it to his son. When he gave it to his son in 2014, he gave it to him, and now he's the king of Spain up to this present day, and he's 15 years old, and the Talmud Jerusalem is looking at this man like he is Jesus Christ. They believe his father was supposed to be the Antichrist, but he wasn't, but his father left a son, and this his son now is 6'6", and you talking about handsome, and I don't go around calling men handsome. I don't call men beautiful. Amen. But I tell you, he's a handsome looking for the ladies. He's tall, 6'6", and he stands taller than anybody in Spain. He has the degree of 4 military enlistees. He's Navy, Air Force, Army, and Air Force, Navy, and Army, and the Marines. He can 10 languages. And guess what? Guess what? He belongs to the Illuminati. He is a chief culprit, the Illuminati, and the Illuminati will listen to him. The king, even the Pope got to bow down to King Felipe. And if you use his number in a certain way, you can come out 666 that fulfills his number. This man is waiting in the wings. This is Bible history. This is Gentile history. This is Jewish history. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, go to your Bibles first, and then go to the Whitaker Cyclopedia and go to the Botanical Cyclopedia. And it will tell you that this man is a royal seed from the linkage of David through the Jewish intermarriage in England, because there's a lot of Jews in the Middle East. They intermarried and they follow the throne theory of being the royal blood. So there's a lot of bloodline in the Gentile line that's mixing with that he'll come out being a Jew and a Gentile. A lot of people go, how's that happen? Well, Hitler had a Jewish mother. So Hitler was half Jew. That's why he hated himself for being a Jew, and he hated, why? Because he knew, here's what Hitler knew. Hitler knew that the Jews was God's chosen people behind the influence of Satan, and Satan said, you got to get rid of these people. These people got too much. And so he burned 6 million Jews and slaughtered 6 million Jews to get rid of them. And this Antichrist is coming up. He's going to do the same thing in the tribulation period. He's under the Roman government. Jesus Christ, where is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, amen, is about the church. Anything that's outside of the church, anything that's not in the church and sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're out there in a jungle, because the devil is a deceiver, and you've got people believe that the Roman Catholic is going to be the universal universal religion. It's going to be the universal religion, but it's just a religion. It's a diabolical plot for the devil to deceive people through the Pope, through the Cardinals. And if you will go back into history and read church history and read Gentile history and read Jewish history, you'll find out the Roman Catholic is the bloodiest church on the face of the earth.
That's
and
right.
You might
Amen.
Not like it. It's the bloodiest church on the face of the earth, because they wouldn't
That's
let
right.
the Christians have the Bible. They wouldn't. They want them to pray to the Pope. And the Christians said, we're not going to pray to no Pope. We're not going to pray to no statues. And the Roman Catholic Church tried to get rid of them until old Wittenberg's door. Martin Luther said, that's enough of that. 95 speeches on Wittenberg's door. They said, we're going to stop that, and we are going to protest. And that's where you get your Protestant churches to turn away from that. But today's Protestant churches are going back into the Catholic diocese, and they are joining together. And then you will find the final showdown in the 17th chapter of Revelation. The woman carrying and riding up on the scarlet beast with a golden cup in her hand, looking good. Woo, my God, that woman was looking good. She got the slit on the side of her legs, you know, so you can see that leg. Got her breast all cut down so you can see the breast. She got a fine, good-looking golden cup with her hair twine and wine and ear bobs and all that stuff on, and she smells good, but behind it is a lot of stink. And the church today is full of looking good on the outside. People go to church looking good, but on the inside, their soul is like an open dead man grave. It's stink. Jesus talked about it. He said, you come in here with yourself looking all sweet and everything, but underneath, your soul is like an open sepulcher. You stink. You got dead men's bones walking around in your soul, and you call yourself good. Well, this woman got it based out, because anything that look good, folks will go for it. Anything that's right, they won't want it. Anything that sounds good and pleasing to the heart and soul, they'll jump on it. Woo, my God. The devil ain't playing.
That's right.
The devil playing. Devil ain't playing with you. The devil gonna say, "Look, I want your soul. Don't go to the cross. Don't go for the blood. That blood ain't nothing." That's what he's saying. People are defying the blood of Jesus Christ right now. And I tell you, when you defy the blood of Jesus Christ and you die without being shed, the blood shedding in your heart. Let me tell you, what's to take your Lucifer matches, take you a lot of wood. And because you're going to burn in hell, not because I hate you, not because God hates you, because you rejected the only way that God could deliver man from sin. That is the only way. Hey, Bishop, come on, Bishop. Come on, preacher. Come on with y'all self. You're preaching all that doctrinal you got your degrees, you got your BA, you got your CD, you got your AD, you got all these D's, but you ain't preaching nothing. You preaching what? You preaching that would please to the people, and the people just gobbling it up. And if you read the 56th chapter of what? Oh, my God, I got a couple of minutes. I'm going to give it over to brother what you call him. We're going to have an altar call. Amen. I'm going to go to the 56th chapter of Isaiah real quick, and I'm going to show you what you're dealing with. What Isaiah had to deal with in his day. Amen. 56th chapter of Isaiah.
56.
I'm gonna let what you call read this, because I want him to read this real good, nice and loud. I want everybody to hear this. Now, this is Bible. This ain't Brother Bazaar. Brother Bazaar don't know nothing about this. But listen to what it says. 9th chapter, 56 and 9.
Amen. Isaiah, the 56th chapter, verse 9, correct?
9.
Amen. It says, all ye beasts of the field come to devour.
Uh-huh.
Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. All
right. Uh-huh.
Keep going?
Go ahead. Keep on moving.
Amen. All right. It says, his watchmen are blind.
Uh-huh.
They
uh-huh.
are all ignorant.
Listen. Go ahead.
And it says, they are all dumb dogs. They
Look
cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come
Read
ye,
on.
Say they, I will fetch wine. And we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Amen.
Now, that ain't talking about the guy down the street. That's talking about preaching.
That's right.
That's talking about a watchman. A watchman is a preacher.
That's right.
Watching the souls of men, telling men that. But these guys, they're greedy dogs. They like wine, women, and song. They like the party.
That's right.
That's what some church folks are doing. You might not see it in the open, but undercover, God knows what's going
on. That's right.
But if they were preaching the gospel, I guarantee you one thing about it, somebody would get saved in that. Somebody would holler out and run to the altar. Lord Jesus, I want your salvation. But these preachers are greedy. They bark, but you don't know what they're saying. They like to live abundantly. How many preachers you seen on TV showing off their houses and their real estate and talking about how much money they got? How many? A whole lot
That's
of
right.
them.
That's right.
They ain't talking about no soul salvation. They talking about get your money, send me money. Look how many cars I got. I got 15 cars. I got 6 houses. I got $250 million, and the Lord is blessing me. Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, are you blessing anybody? I'm not talking about with money. I'm talking about with telling them how Jesus hung on the cross. Come on, y'all. How he died. How he stayed in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And got
That's
up on
right.
the third day morning with all power. Are you telling the folks he's coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle? He's coming back to get a blood-washed one. He's coming back to get the justified one. He's coming back to get the saints. Good God, he's not coming back just to get the Baptist, the Presbyterian, because you won't find none of these denominations in the Bible. The only thing
That's
you
right.
find in the Bible, in Revelation, it says the saints of God. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no denominations, amen, saying, well, I got priority because I'm a Baptist. I was raised as a Christian, but my dad was a Baptist preacher, and I love him because he told me the Bible truth. He told me about the cross. Whenever you preach a sermon, start with the cross and end with the cross.
That's
right.
She
said, if a man don't preach about the cross, he ain't no preacher.
That's right.
And I'm not judging nobody, but let me tell you, if people don't stand up for Jesus Christ and lift him up, they're going to be in a sad state. And here you got Isaiah talking about the preachers, the watchmen. Greedy dogs, men who just like to party and wear fancy suits and rings
That's
and
right.
gold and silver and try to impress the women. Oh, my, I don't even want to go into that because they do some more rotten things. And God said, I'm going to remove the candlestick out of some of these churches because they ain't doing nothing. That's bad. And one of the churches that he has removed a part of the candlesticks out of is Laodicea. That lazy, wretched, blind, crippled, hypocritical, lustful church. And he said, I got a few in there. I'm going to draw them out. Because when the rapture comes, God's going to take some out of every church age and rapture them up. And then
That's
it
right.
will come to a conclusion. When people say there ain't no rapture, when the rapture comes, they're going to say, oh, my God.
That's right.
It's a rapture, and I missed it. You
That's
missed
right.
it because you was stubborn, and you was too self-willed, and you was taught, but you wasn't taught right. And the people today are not getting taught the word of God because they're in that clumsy, lazy attitude that they can walk on into heaven. But you got a sad coming day. And the saddest person in the world is when the Lord say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
I knew you not.
My friends, we're living in the last days. You need to get your heart right. And I say that out of
that's
love.
Right.
The brother and I, we love you. Those that listen, we
Amen.
Love you. We mad at the devil. I'm angry at somebody right now. I'm angry at the devil. You're slew foot.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
That will be no good, and I can't stand even the sound of you. And I can't stand the way you doing people, and the people are letting you do it. They need to know Jesus Christ. So won't you just get on out the way, amen, because you losing souls every day. Somebody's getting saved every day, Satan. Well, I rebuke you, and I rebuke you trying to say that me and Brother Tim is crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. I'm crazy for God. I'm crazy for Jesus
amen.
Christ.
Amen. That's right, brother.
I lost my mind. I ain't got no mind of my own. But the mind I have now is Christ. And my mind
right.
right now, I would like to see somebody out there come to Jesus Christ today. And you don't have to be in the church. Amen. If you accept Jesus Christ, you want somebody to baptize you, they're saved. Amen. Let them baptize you. You can be saved just as much as anybody else if they got tied in a royal building. Most people got baptized in a river or in a lake somewhere. Woo!
That's right.
You're showing the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You come up walking in the newness of life. You're on your way. Brother Tim, go ahead and take it away. Give us all the call. Let the people know we love them. And I hope you. I hope somebody got something out of it. If they don't, they need to study a little bit more and ask the Lord to give them some more enlightenment. And,
amen.
I'll be on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. So, Brother Tim, you go ahead and do what you got to do.
Amen, brother. Amen. Awesome word again today, as always. Amen. We thank the Most High for this opportunity and this platform to try to reach as many souls as we possibly can. Amen. As the brother said, hopefully someone was blessed by this word. Hopefully someone received salvation today. That's what we're believing for, is that more souls come into the kingdom of the Most High God. Amen. Taking a look at Romans, the 8th chapter. I just want to go there real quick.
Go ahead.
Amen. Let me go take a look at that. Amen. And usually I come out of Romans, the 10th chapter, but I just want to share something real quick.
Go ahead.
Let me do it, turn it back over to the brother. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter. This is what it says. Paul says in verse 31, he says, what shall we say then? Amen. He says, to these things, if God, amen, Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Yes.
Paul asked a question in that verse. Amen. Very meaningful question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Satan has no power, amen, against the Most High God. Amen. I tell people, amen, stop telling people that they can lose their salvation. Stop preaching that. That's a false religion. That's a false belief. Don't teach that to nobody, because Satan does not have power over the cross.
No.
The cross has
more
power, amen, than you can ever imagine. Amen. It gives us eternal life. That's why it's called eternal life. How can you make something that's eternal, not non-eternal? If it's called eternal life, that means it's everlasting life. So God intended you to have it for eternity. I had somebody try to explain to me one time how they could, person can lose eternal life. I said, well, why is it called eternal life? Then that would make the word a lie, and that would make God a lie. And we know that God is not man, amen, that he should what? Lie. So that is a lie. From the pits of hell, you cannot lose your salvation, because Christ is way more powerful than what Satan can ever imagine to be. Amen.
Every day.
Now, amen. Now, watch what he says. Paul says in verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded. Paul says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Yahshua.
Yeah.
So the scripture just told you right there, people are not getting the rightly divided word. They're not studying. They're not reading. As the brother said, people are greedy. They're out here for their own lust and their own gain. They can care less about your soul. All they care about is what they can get out of being a false preacher and a false teacher. Amen. But we love you. We want you to receive salvation. The word just told you itself, amen, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in existence has the power to separate those that love God, and God loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm so happy, brother, for our salvation. For there will be joy when Christ returns to get the church.
Amen.
We are going to celebrate. We're going to receive our rewards and the gifts that he has for those that love him when we stand before the Bema seat. And we will come back with Christ after the 7-year tribulation reign with him, brother. Amen. I was shocked to learn that majority of the pastors in the church had no clue that we were going to come back and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Brother, even as a preacher my age, I was shocked to hear it. I'm like, you didn't know that? People in the church, the congregation had no clue that we were going to come back. When I said that, they were just all looking at each other like, what in the world is he talking about? I was in total shock. I said, Lord, have mercy. What are we teaching and preaching to people? Well, what are they teaching and preaching in the church these days? They're teaching nothing to the people. They're not teaching life. They're definitely not teaching love. They're definitely not teaching salvation. So, amen. So Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you want to become saved, you want to know what it takes for you to be out of here when the before the Antichrist come on the scene. As I've said before, nothing can prepare you for that 7 years. Daniel said it, Christ said it, and Christ gave John, the apostle, the message and revelation to give to the seven churches. Amen. To receive your reward before it's too late, because he said, behold, I'll come quickly. Amen. That's going to be Romans 10, 9, and 10, which is the plan of salvation. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love God because God is simple. See, the devil is complicated. And I don't understand why people worship the devil, the Satan, this evil system. The devil is corrupt. The devil is evil. He complicates it. God keeps things simple. He said, all you got to do is just come to me and just believe. Amen. I'm going to read one last scripture. I'm going to turn it back over to the brother. It says Ephesians, the second chapter. Watch what it says. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8, says, for by grace, by the grace of the God, are ye saved. Through faith and not what? Of yourself.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing to save my soul. Christ has died on the cross for my sins. Watch what it says. It says it is the gift of God. See, if I gave you something and never asked for it back, that's a gift. But if I give you something and take it back, that's not a gift. See, God don't do things like that. Amen, brother. It's not a gift. God don't do things like that. God gives. Amen, the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. It's yours for all eternity. He don't want it back. I gave it to you. It's yours, and now walk in your eternality. Amen. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Brothers and sisters, amen. Salvation is free. It's for all eternity. And, man, you can't beat it. And it is the greatest gift that you will ever receive in your existence. Amen, brother. So there it is. If you want to receive salvation, there it is. It is free. You don't have to wait to go back into the church. You don't have to wait to see your pastor. You can stay right now in your house because why? God loves you. Amen, brother. Back over to you.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Brother, you brought it down. You brought it down. That's ATC. If you miss that, it ain't going to be your fault that soul that's listening to that, it ain't gonna be your fault if they miss that. Go to hell. You don't lay it right from the scripture. But you got a gallon of blood in your body. You got 1 gallon. If you take half of that gallon, let it drain out, you get weak. If you drain it all out, you die. And nothing else you can put it back in there to bring life back. You can try whiskey, milk, any kind of liquid. It ain't gonna work. And if you know you need to be saved, you need a blood transfusion. Jesus Christ will give you a blood transfusion through his spirit. He shed his blood. And out of blood came what? The Holy Spirit, because he opened the fountain. The fountain is open. So anybody out there that needs Jesus Christ, the only thing you got to do is repent. 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 In other words, turn from your wicked ways. Break down with a contrite spirit. Be sorry that you have sinned against a holy God, a holy loving God. And turn from your wicked, turn from your unbelief, turn from yourself, and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by his power, by his love, that you can have eternal life forever.
That's right. Amen.
There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ the rest of my life. There's nobody else can take his place. Brother,
that's right.
Brother, we're here for your for the people's benefit to introduce some salvation to them, and I'm glad that we're able to do this because I wouldn't want to do nothing else. I wouldn't want to do nothing else but preach this gospel. Oh my God! Because I'm a really compassionate person. I care about people, and I know you about people.
Yes,
and I don't
sir.
Like to see nobody. I like to tell everybody, hey man, get saved. But I know they'll look at you like you're crazy. But those that are out there, we want you to know you can escape the wrath to come and enter into the kingdom of God by the new birth through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Right.
I think we only got about a minute left, brother. I think that's about it. But we sure enjoy in telling you about the love of God. I got 1 minute. Brother Tim, I enjoyed you. Yes, sir. I'll be on Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the evening. You continue to pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. And hope somebody out there got some knowledge of God's word. This is not our